Zone for Sports. Watson Zone for Sports. It's just a command away.
Open your mouth.
Just ask your smart speaker to play. Play 88.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I need one of those.
Talking about the game is no game.
Danny Ainge, what does it feel like the day you see your baseball card and the word bust is put next to it?
Tucker and Rich.
I don't have a problem with that.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Just because you've never been hit in the head with a puck doesn't mean you can't sound like you've been hit in the head with a puck.
Pow! Pow! Cootie hands!
The Toucher and Rich Drunken Bruins Recap on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The decorations now going up for the big wrestling contest going on at 8 o'clock. The guy from Machine going to be the manager of Sarge, a special guest coming in as well. Our contestants are lined up. There's three contestants.
One's been very excited, tweeting all morning.
That would be Sarge, I'm imagining.
Your boy. His name, Freight Train.
Oh, yeah, Freight Train.
Freight Train's going to be here.
I personally selected Freight Train. I would not. I allowed debate for everyone else. I needed Freight Train.
Yeah, Freight Train is here.
Freight Train, who looks like a roadie for ZZ Top, is here. And now we're putting up these pictures. Rich got these banners that are for kids' birthdays. And I don't know who one of the wrestlers is on the first one.
Yeah, the guy upper left, who's that?
Is that Rey Mysterio?
Okay.
I know him because he's a luchador. The luchadors are legit awesome. Like, they're the guys who do the flips and the crazy stuff off the...
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Cena, and that's Sheamus, upper right.
Yeah, I wouldn't know who Sheamus is.
It's because we've had... Yeah,
we've had him in studio. Yeah,
we've had Cena and Sheamus in studio.
Yeah. There's Daniel. We've had Daniel Bryan in studio, who does not look like that in person.
And then, there's The Rock, and then there's a guy I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
No. All right, so let's get to it.
All right.
Was it Nick or Bird?
Bird was out there last night. Bird out of the TD Garden, another big win. All these guys seem to do is win lately, and Brad Marchand seems to be the reason. So let's take a listen.
This is for radio.
Yes.
Boston Bruins. Going all the way. All the way, no question.
What you think of the game tonight?
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
I mean, watch out. Awesome. Hit by a car. Let's go. Doug Sweeney looks like a genius. Everything he
can do. Okay, maybe don't stand in the middle of the road when you're doing a recap.
Is that what he's doing?
It's like, well, watch out for the car. Unless the car's driving up on the sidewalk.
Well.
I mean, which, who knows? Was kind of nutty with the snow yesterday.
Well, who knows what Bird is? Who knows what the man Bird is up to?
Awesome. Hit by a car. Let's go. Doug Sweeney looks like a genius. Everything he friggin' touches turns to gold.
What'd you think of that last second goal by There?
Well, I mean, it's typical Brad Marchand. You know, he goes to the box a couple times and, you know, comes in the clutch. Keep it up. The youth movement is working. We're here to stay for the next 10 years, baby, and we are not moving from the top of the Eastern Conference. Mark my words.
Is anyone here yet for the wrestling thing? So a contestant is here?
Is it Freight Train?
Is it Freight Train?
It appears so. There's somebody out in the parking lot. There's a car idling in the parking lot. We assume it's somebody.
Pre-gaming.
Yeah. You know, Freight Train's
push-ups.
Freight Train's out there in the Camaro just smoking burnout. Put some bleach in the parking lot and let's make a statement. You put bleach down and you make those babies. Let them burn, baby. Hey, honey, you want to come for a ride? No? How about now? Squeal! Yeah!
Roll the windows up, man. Don't let the good stuff escape.
Go Red Sox! Come on, go Red Sox.
Out of nowhere?
Yeah, you gotta go Red Sox. Come on. They've got a new manager as well. Come on.
Now they're sucking up to Bird, who thought that on Monday there should have been far more Red Sox talk.
Right.
He thought that there was that Red Sox should be talked about. And then when he did his own show, he said, well, Benintendi hit a home run. That was his big discussion point.
Go Red Sox.
No, this is hockey season. It's hockey season until June.
Exactly.
Hockey season until June.
So, I love it. It's like all these guys are like,
who cares? We're talking hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey.
We're talking hockey, baby.
It's like, shut up.
Whoa.
We got a road rage in the middle of the
hockey. Hey, it's all right. We're going to win the Stanley Cup. It's okay.
Yeah.
That was like 80. We have road rage.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Are they playing like? Are they playing the bull fighting with the cars?
Chicken? I told him to go to the TD Garden, not to just record an Everett Street party.
Yeah, man, maybe he just opted out and decided to go all Everett on the people.
You know what, Bird? Just a little word of advice. We're the listener. Maybe you kind of describe what's happening there.
That's too much. He's got his questions written down. And
he does. Whoa, hey, oh my God. Oh, can you believe that? All right, so the Bruins.
Yeah, he doesn't exactly paint a picture.
Someone could have just been like plastered by like a sedan, knocked all over Causeway Street. We would never know.
That's
incredible.
Awesome.
She's disruptive.
What a menace.
Yeah, I mean, what is he doing?
I mean, what's going on?
How could you not say, I have no idea what happened. Literally no idea what happened. I don't know what was going on.
I don't either.
I don't know if they saw a car get in an accident.
Or if some woman came out and punched a guy because he was in traffic. Who knows?
Bird not painting a picture with words. Well, what do you expect? He's the Bird Man. All right, Bird out in front of the garden.
What's your name?
Scott.
What'd you think of the game tonight?
I loved it.
What'd you love about the game?
I mean, they win. They beat that Philly trash. That's a good night. I hate Philly. They're garbage. They're not even human. They're the worst.
How's Brian Gagne's breakaway goal in person? I didn't see it.
Brian who?
Gagne.
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 Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't see it.
Brian Gagne. He used to be a reliever for the Red Sox. Johnny Glasses.
I didn't see it.
The brother.
Brian Gagne.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
See, it's Gianta.
I didn't see it. How was it? I didn't see it. Great question, Bird. How was it? Oh, I was awful. I hated it. How was it? Oh, I don't know. I mean, it was a goal.
Didn't see it. Don't know how to pronounce it.
How was it? It's a dumb question anyway. Just how was it? I don't know, Bird. Fine. It was just fine.
How's Brian Gagne's breakaway goal in person? I didn't see it.
You mean Brian Gianta?
I butcher his name all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
He never said his name.
Every time you say it.
Because he talks about him all the time.
It would be every time if he's only said it once.
Yeah. He's one for one.
That's right. Everyone loves Gianta. We can't stop. There's so much Olympics talk.
Right.
You mean Brian Gianta?
I butcher his name all the time. My bad.
All right. Well,
just play the last one real quick. Take 20 seconds long.
All right. Here is the last one. Here is Bird doing in front of the garden.
All right, what you think about the Bruins game tonight?
Oh, it was awesome, baby. They started off a little slow, but they picked it up in the end. They got that dub in the end, Marshawn.
Nobody's better than Brad Marchand.
6'3", believe in him, baby.
What you think of Brian Gagne's breakaway goal?
Brian who? Is it Galea that time?
Gouye.
Oh, Gouye. I thought he said Galea.
It's Robert's grandson. Robert Gouye.
Wasn't that Benson's real name?
Robert Guillaume.
Oh, Guillaume.
No, this is just a really snazzy singer who had a cameo in Gouye. The Naked Gun 2.5. Or was it 33 and a third? I forget which one he was the bad guy.
It's just a dumb question anyway.
I just love it.
Even if you pronounce the name right, it's a stupid question.
Gianta, Bird, please pronounce Gianta.
How's Brian Gagne's breakaway goal?
The name is Gianta.
Would you take out Brian Gagne's breakaway goal?
I think he said Galea. I'm almost convinced.
Galea?
Galea. Believe in him, baby.
Would you take out Brian Gagne's breakaway goal?
Steve's making a deep run.
I feel it. You're a dummy.
The Boston Bruins organization right now, what would it be?
Win the cup, baby! Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for making Boston sports enjoyable again. Getting us all excited for something to come to. The fans love coming to your games. Bring us home the cup this year, baby.
Feeling it.
How's Brian Gagne's breakaway goal?
I want to know that.
Would you take out Brian Gagne's breakaway goal?
Well, Bird, there you go. Asking the questions that need to be asked.
It's quite a gift to mispronounce it twice in two different ways.
It is pretty good.
Bill Bird joining us this hour. Also, at 8 o'clock, it is everything that you could have expected. It is the Sarge wrestling trivia. Not only Sarge, others involved as well. Hopefully Guy from Machine honors his commitment and shows up and acts as the manager for one Sarge. It should be certainly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It should be certainly interesting.
And how about that Bill Burr even like before that? So there we go.
Rey Mysterio on the wall right now, apparently.
I can't even read that guy's signature.
No, I don't have any idea who he is.
Freight Train would know. Freight Train is pregame in the parking lot. He's just squealing his wheels right now.
Yeah, Freight Train's just letting you know what's going on.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The New York Times side, staying alive was no job at second hand. Moms bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to. No goose, only way I begin the G.O. was drug loop. Unless started like this, son, rolling with this one and that one, pulling out gas for fun.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer from MMQB and from NBC Sports Boston joins us. Mr. Burt Breer, hello, sir.
Hey, Fred. So I got in for my run, and I saw some people tweeting about something I may have missed this morning. I guess you came out of the gate running?
Fred came in hot.
Since Beasley took over, I've just been using a generic login, and on the computer, I did not put it on here. It says, do not log off. And then, what was the guy's name?
Tucker Silva.
Tucker Silva was logged into this computer. I have no idea why anyone would sit here, but God bless you. If you want to sit in this seat and pretend, like it's like letting a kid when your car is parked, like sit in the driver's seat and pretend to drive the car. If you want to sit here, that's fine. But then we realized that on Felger's computer, it was Tucker Silva was also signed in and his Twitter was up. So, and then we called Tucker Silva, and he said that that he was a genuine person, and that's why he let people use his login, to which they logged into every computer. It was really like you let a 10-year-old loose in the studio. But there you go.
So it's like a Tucker Silva takeover, like, and every intern, everybody who doesn't have a password using his.
Yeah, that's right. Tucker Silva, because he's very genuine, his words, which is a complete misuse of the term genuine. But
what a magnanimous gesture by Tucker Silva.
That's right, to have everyone screw every... So in retrospect, what he did is he allowed everyone to himself to screw over everyone in here. So that's what happened. That's why I was coming in hot. So there you have it.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to the podcast because it sounded good.
Everyone should listen to the podcast. Everyone should listen to the show and then listen to the podcast. All right, Bert, were you surprised with the Aqib Talib in the trade to the Rams?
No, the Broncos. This is about two things for the Broncos. One, they've got a former first round pick in Bradley Roby, who has been their third corner for 4 years, who's going into his option year. And they needed to get him on the field. He's obviously a lot younger than Talib. And so this creates opportunity for Bradley Roby to get out there. Talib isn't quite what he once was. And then the other piece of this is about going and pursuing a quarterback next week, whether that's Kirk Cousins or Case Keenum. They need to clear some space. And, they had, going into the offseason, three guys over 30 with eight-figure cap numbers. One was Demaryius Thomas, another was Emmanuel Sanders, and the third was Aqib Talib. And logically, if you're trying to attract a quarterback there, you may not want to get rid of the receivers. And so for those two reasons, Talib became expendable. And, I think you see the return here. Talib's probably not what he once was. And carrying that big number, it was not easy for the Broncos to move Talib, but they found two suitors, and obviously the Rams are a team that's going for it this year and have a coaching staff they feel like can handle Talib, and so that's where he is.
All right, so the debate here was Richard Sherman or Talib. Now that Talib's off the table, which one would you have preferred, and is Richard Sherman really a possibility of coming to New England?
I wouldn't rule Richard Sherman coming to New England out. The one thing you have to remember is he's still hurt, so... That may not happen for a few months, and you're going to have to do planning between now and the spring, whenever he gets healthy. And so Who knows where the Patriots are after, you know, full cycle of free agency after the draft. The corner position might look different. I think we all assume Malcolm Butler is going to be gone. But, you know, we don't know what they're going to be doing between now and the end of April, and a lot of that will color what they may or may not do with Richard Sherman. That said, I think that there's a fit there. I would have liked to leave better, and here's the reason why. There was an acclimation period last year with Stephon Gilmore, you know, and he was a corner who was coming from a place where they were really asking to do one thing, and that's man people up. And, you know, I think with both Sherman and Tlaib, you're really looking at those guys now at this point in their careers as year-to-year propositions. And so you want the guy who can get in there faster and be a contributor quicker, because he may not be here long-term. And so I think, you know, because Sherman's coming from a system where they're asking to do a specific thing, which he did at a Hall of Fame level, but they were asking to do a specific thing, it's a bit of a projection coming to New England, where I think Tlaib, because you know him and because he's been here, you have a pretty good idea of how he's going to be able to contribute for you, and you're probably going to be able to get more out of him earlier than you would Sherman.
All right, Bert, free agency starts next week. I guess the tampering period is Monday, and free agency starts Wednesday, and obviously the quarterbacks, Cousins and Keenum, are right at the top of the list, but where do guys like Nate Solder and Jimmy Graham and Sheldon Richardson go?
Well, Solder's going to have a market, and part of this is about those offensive line positions, which are becoming harder and harder to fill. You can look at last year's draft and how teams are struggling to find them. This year's draft's a little bit better in that regard, but there have been more busts at those positions too, just because, you know, it's harder to project guys coming from the college game than maybe it was 10 or 15 years ago. And there's some teams that have really struggled, you know, to fill those spots. You know, the Broncos the last couple of years, the Giants obviously last year, the Texans had their issues last year. So there's going to be suitors out there for Nate Solder because, you know, a lot of teams look at it and say, we'd rather bring in a guy who's been in the pros for a few years and then risk it on a college kid who, you know, may take a year or two to acclimate to the pro game. And so, my expectation is when we get to next week, we're going to have a new highest paid center in Ryan Jensen from the Ravens. We're going to have a new highest paid guard in Andrew Norwell from the Panthers. And if Nate Solder wants to leave Foxborough, I think he's going to be one of the top five paid offensive linemen in football. I think he's going to get $13 or $14 million a year if he wants it. It's just the way it's going at those positions now. And as for Sheldon, I think one thing that could be really interesting out there, I'm not ruling him out staying in Seattle. I don't rule out him going back to the Jets. Keep an eye on the Minnesota Vikings. They feel like they're close, and we've seen how they've looked at the quarterback market, how they're going to pursue Kirk Cousins. I don't think that's going to be the only big move. I could see them trying to add Sheldon Richardson to their defensive line, which would be pretty frightening when you consider what's already there.
The Jets would take Sheldon Richardson back?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, they've been down that road before, Fred, right? I mean, they went down that road with Revis, so. Yeah,
it worked out wonderfully.
I wouldn't totally rule it out just because, I mean, look, you know, there was a feeling last year that locker room was combustible going into the 2017 season, and that they needed that defensive line group with Sheldon, who was a little immature, and Mo, who, you know, what they believe was a little bit of a bad guy. They felt like that defensive line room was teetering on blowing up. And Mo Wilkerson at that point had no trade value, so they had to do something. And they could get something back for Sheldon. So the move was to move on from Sheldon then. But they've got good knowledge of the player, and I think if the price is right, they would consider bringing him back. They've got a lot of money to spend.
All right, Bird, finally, what are you hearing about Kirk Cousins right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jets are going to be very, very aggressive, as everybody knows, and they're going to be willing to guarantee money into the third year, which I think is going to be important. And I've told you guys how important I think Jeremy Bates is in this whole thing as kind of a coach and cousin of Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. And so, you know, I think the Jets appeal to Kirk. The Vikings are right in the middle of a championship window. Financially, I don't think they're willing to go as far as the Jets are because they want to, you know, maintain their strength on defense. I mentioned Sheldon as a guy they could bring in. They've also got some guys internally they've got to take care of in Anthony Barr and Danelle Hunter and Eric Kendricks, and on the offensive side, Stephon Diggs. So they've got a lot of money to spend. They've also got a lot of young players to take care of. And at this point, I would say it's more likely the Broncos wind up with Case Keenum than Kirk Cousins. So I don't think it's a two-horse race. I know Kirk Cousins hasn't ruled anyone out. No one's been eliminated from the race. But, you know, I would say the Jets and Vikings are probably the lead dogs right now.
All right. Bert Breer, MMQB, NBC Sports Boston, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is the guy from Machine here? Oh, not yet.
Uh-oh.
I don't like that. Come on, guy from Machine. Nick, you text him, because all I care about are two people. One is the guy with the cowboy hat, and the other is the guy from Machine. Everyone else, get out of here. Luke, hello.
Hey, you know, I got to ask you, before I get to Bird, you know, if I have to hear, why are we still hearing Boomer's Sports Minutes or whatever that is? Why do we still have to hear that? If I have to hear another birthday shout-out by him, I'm going to kill myself.
We're the only people that play the thing. I don't know. There was some convoluted explanation for it.
It needs to stop now. So the next point, Bird, I mean, this is enough. This is three strikes and you're out, man. You're sleeping at the job. You don't like the best character created in 10 years on this show, kitty litter James Stewart.
Thank you.
And now he, you know, he's the worst on the street. I've never thought I would want Adolfo back. I mean, he's making him, you know, these he's not even funny. You know, the things that he's good for, he's not even doing.
Yeah.
But anyway, real quick, yeah. I need you to do I'm creating a pilot right now. I've got Louis Anderson, kitty litter James Stewart, and the bird in a house. So that's I'm just looking, you know, and then we have rotating, you know, comics that come in.
All right. Well, thank you. I cannot do all three voices, but I will tell you this. The biggest thing that you mentioned. The thing that you mentioned that is the most dead on is him not liking kitty litter James Stewart. Thank you. That character I actually went back and listened to from last Friday's show several times. I actually enjoyed doing that quite a bit. You're right. He critiqued the show that he fell asleep during. And, you know, but the thing is that we have to get recaps, or we want to at least try, because you can, he hasn't found like a freak yet. But you want someone out there every game because you want to teach them. You want them to go and start finding the next faster guy. So you get them out there. And also the Bruins are doing well enough now that there is an atmosphere around the Garden. But all the things you made are valid points.
How's Brian Gagner's breakaway goal?
I mean, everything.
Would you take out Brian Gagner's breakaway goal?
Everything he just said they're all valid points. I'll tell you what, after Monday's show, that was something else. I had nothing to talk to him about, and we were sitting in the room together for about 5 minutes. Yeah. I go, so what'd you think about the show? He goes, that's terrible, terrible. Not good, not good. Why? Kitty Litter James too gone too long. Okay.
He probably figured he was scoring points by being honest with you.
But I don't even think he knew it was. All he knew was Kitty Litter James too.
Oh.
He didn't even, and then we should have talked more Red Sox. Anyway, so Gordon Hayward keeps releasing this video of him taking jump shots and things of that nature.
On the Players Tribune website, yep.
So obviously he's doing this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's moving around and shooting. He's been doing this for a long time. Finally, when he got the boot off, he started doing that. I mean, he's playing basketball. I mean, he's not playing against anyone. I haven't seen him cut hard. I mean, I technically haven't seen him run, even though I would imagine if you can take jump shots that you can run. But two interesting things that have picked up some momentum. If you haven't heard them, here is Danny Ainge, because we know Brad Stevens has said Hayward was not going to play this season. Here is Danny Ainge on that.
I don't believe that Gordon thinks he's going to play.
Oh, you don't think Gordon thinks he's going to play?
I don't think so, no.
But why try to show the world that you might be getting ready for something? It just seems like he wants everyone to know that he might be making a return.
I think that Gordon just wants to show everyone when he comes back next year that, you know, all the work that he put in to get back to who he was when he got here, or even better player than he was when he got hurt.
Like when will you know it's time for him to come back?
He just is. He's not even full weight bearing on his foot doing anything yet. He is on the Alter G, which is half his body weight, maybe up to 60% of his body weight. You know, there's just a long way to go. before he can get out on a basketball court. And then once he's 100% cleared physically, which he's not close to that yet, there's a long process of just, you know, getting your mind and your confidence in your foot and overcoming the mental part of it.
So you're saying he's playing. All right, so, I mean, he's putting weight on his foot. He's taking jump shots. I probably should have pressed him a little bit more on that. But also, and you know you're legit if you're Mike Gorman and you call the basketball games and people are giving you as much credit as they are giving to Danny Ainge, because before the Ainge interview, the day before on Wednesday, we had talked to Mike Gorman, and here was his theory. Do you believe Brad Stevens when he says Hayward's not going to be playing this season?
I think Brad believes that, yeah. Here's my thing on Hayward. Everybody tells me that he is working out 8-9 hours a day, just religiously working out, doing everything that they ask of him and more. It seems to me that if Gordon Hayward thought his next basketball game that he was going to play in was next October, he might not be working out 9 hours a day right now. He might be working out 6, might be working out just doing the minimum and knowing that it's a long-term thing. I think he's working out with the idea that he can be ready by the end of the season. Now, whether they want to activate him, whether they want to play him or not, that's a whole different question. But I truly believe that before the playoffs are over, we'll see him in a Celtic uniform. I just believe it.
I think there's a difference here, and I thought about this because I knew we were gonna do this break at some point or another. Hayward might be working towards coming back, but according to Ainge anyway, he's nowhere close. He's working out 9 hours a day in the hopes that he can return, and in his mind, he thinks it's going to happen, and that's where Mike Gorman's coming from. But then you have Danny Ainge saying, okay, he's only 60% on the Alter G, whatever that is. I have no idea what that is. But according to Ainge, he's really nowhere close. So that's where the discrepancy is. You know, the team is looking at his workout regimen and seeing, okay, he's nowhere close to returning and we're running out of games. Hayward is posting these videos and working out 9 hours a day in the hopes that he can return, but there's still a wide margin he has to cross over.
All right. Well, regardless, I don't know how you work out 8 or 9 hours a day. I have no idea.
True.
What's going on and how that's good for you to work out 8 or 9 hours a day. I don't know if the human body is meant for such stuff, especially if you have a broken ankle. All right, we are going to talk to Bill Burr. He is going to make some, I guess he's going to change his schedule a little bit in order to be able to do some time with us. So we'll break now and we'll come back with Bill Burr. And remember, at 8 o'clock, the guy from Machine is here.
That's the cheese!
The guy from Machine is here. It is going to be a whole situation. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
So the guy from Machine is on the way. I asked Nick, I go, where's the guy from Machine? He goes, he's on the way. And I go, well, where is he? He goes, he's coming to the station. Thanks, Nick. That's a very good. A
lot of moving parts.
Well, no, there's really not, but I just like the answer. Like, oh, really? He's on the way to the station. Where is he? Oh, he's on the way to the station. Bill Burr is a big enough comedian that he is playing the Garden. He's playing the Boston Garden, and that tickets go on sale for that. It is at noon. You see, he is playing at noon. The tickets go on sale, and he's coming to the Garden on October 5th. Bill Burr, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys?
I appreciate it. Now, this is a big venue for you.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Not bad for a guy who flunked math every year.
It's quite an ambitious undertaking. You're like a Kevin Hart now.
Well, let's not get crazy. Kevin Hart played a football stadium. But, yeah, I think, like, Napster and all that stuff helped comedians out, because it's really hard to build yourself as a band, and everybody just kind of got into comedy. I can't explain it.
All right, so I heard you on the Mark Maron's podcast, I don't know how long ago. It was when it was warm. And you had had a kid, and you were talking about how easy it was to have a kid. And it sort of pissed me off, because I have two. Has your concept of that changed at all?
No. I don't know. It's just the amount that parents are annoyed, and they're always talking about how difficult their lives are and everything, like they're working some oil rig in the middle of nowhere. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't sleep as much, but the reward of having a kid, you come home and there's this person that doesn't realize you're a jerk yet, so they're all excited to see you like you're the greatest person on the planet. It's not that bad.
Yeah, but anything comparatively to being on an oil rig is easy.
Well, then people should shut up. It's like you made a decision to have a kid. Would you think it was going to come out wearing a suit, paying rent, knowing how to drive a car? I mean, it's a baby.
Right. Okay.
It's adorable.
But,
what is the problem?
Well, babe. First of all, do you like babies? Like, because I found when I had a baby, when the kids were babies, that they weren't really bringing anything to the table. Like, I like them now because, you know, they can communicate. But it felt like when they were babies, it was not even like a puppy. You understand what I'm saying? Like a puppy will acknowledge you. The baby just kind of sits there.
I'd say you're a little self-involved.
well,
I mean,
well, that's a fact.
Come on, man. You just look at them; they're so small, and everything like works. Their little fingers and their cute little feet when they go to yawn. It's the most adorable thing ever. And well, you're literally sitting there looking at that, going, you "Can't really have a conversation with me. Kind of bored over here."
Yeah. Well, see, I think part of the thing is that you get to leave. Like, you get to miss the child. Like, you get to go on the road. You get to go. How many nights, like, if you're in New York, how many, nights do you go out and work?
At this point, no. I leave and I come back as quickly as possible. I have a tremendous amount of guilt when I leave, and thank God for FaceTime, because they change so quickly. I feel like an absentee father, but this is what I do for a living, so... No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, dude. I love being a dad.
Oh, I like
I don't like leaving.
I like it, too, and I don't like leaving as well. All right, so I'm watching. I saw it last night, actually. It just so happened. Is I saw the episode of Crashing, the Pete Holmes show that you were on. By the way,
yeah.
Very, very funny in that.
Thank you.
But how much of the... Because the juxtaposition from Pete Holmes is playing this guy who's divorced and he's in New York and he's a struggling comic and he has nowhere to stay. And you are this, you know, massively successful comic who's living in this mansion and smoking cigars and drinking scotch and eating at these steak restaurants. How much was that played up for the show, and how much of that is a reality of Bill Burr?
Oh, yeah, no, that's, you know, the amount of people going like, dude, is that your house?
I thought the same thing, though, man. I thought that, because it was like, I thought it was Artie Lang's apartment in that thing. Like, I really thought that might be your house.
No, that's not my house. You know what's amazing about that house? Did you see in the last scene downstairs that bar?
Yes.
That guy had, or that woman, whoever owns the house, had that bar in that, the bar was big enough to be a real bar. Like, you could commercially have that bar, and a bunch of people could have been downstairs in that giant room. It was incredible. I took pictures of that bar. That was one of the most unbelievable houses I had ever been in. But that was definitely for the TV show to add to the whole comedy dynamic that Pete was starting out. And here's this guy with this giant house and blah, 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 blah. But I've known Pete forever, and I first worked with him in, like, we were in Peoria, Illinois, Richard Pryor's hometown. We played this place called Brewster's. And I think he was still married at the time or just had recently gotten divorced. So that's why I love that show, is I knew him way back when he was going through all of that stuff.
All right, so what was your reaction to the Super Bowl loss?
We won five. We really should have lost to Atlanta the year before, so am I going to get mad? I mean, I be honest with you, I did not like the game beyond the fact that we lost. It was like no strategy. It was like watching kids playing football in the street. There was like no defense. The only thing that bugs me, other than the obvious that we lost, is Eagle fans giving me crap on the internet going, Nick Foles owned you guys. It's like, dude, he had a pedestrian day compared to Brady. Brady threw for over 500 yards
it was just such a weak. I felt like there was one defensive play the whole game, and then that was the one that won it. But, you know, I'm happy for Philly. I just wish they didn't beat us. But, you know, anytime there's a city that it hasn't won in a long time, I'm happy to see them win it. But I just wish they didn't beat us so I could have enjoyed them winning it. But it was a weird year.
Now, when you're in L.A., do you notice that people play up the fact that they're from Boston?
No, that was more back in the day. I knew some people that, you know, moved out there, and they kind of laid the Boston accent on thick, and the women responded. I couldn't get mad at that.
Wait, so women in, so women found that to be attractive if you give them the big Boston accent?
Yeah, people on the East Coast have a personality, and that goes a long way. Like, Bostonians, New Yorkers, people from Philly, they're funny. They're just really funny people, and it just kind of seems like everybody else is from the South, or they're just going, oh, I don't know, I'm from Minnesota. It's just that's how the whole, and everybody on the West Coast is really laid back. So I think that we're really kind of fun people to meet for like 20 minutes. And then you realize that we're all lunatics who are just kind of overly angry about nothing. And the charm kind of wears off after that.
Yeah, the wheels come off. You just understand that, yeah, it gets to be a lot of anger that really has no real purpose.
Yeah, misdirected anger, I believe they call it.
That's right. That's a far better term. All right, quickly, F is for Family. Is that coming back to Netflix?
Yes, it is. We're editing season 3 right now.
A fantastic show. All right. Well, Bill Burr, the tickets go on sale for the show at the Garden on October 5th. They go on sale today at noon. Bill Burr, thank you. You made I don't know if you remember, but you made a video for our 10th anniversary. We appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
Okay. I'll come in a few days early before that gig. So if you guys will have me, I'll definitely come in and do your show.
Listen, please do it. That would be a great pleasure if you would come in.
All right. Go Bruins. Go Celtics.
All right. There you go. Bill Burr, thank you so much. Very, a great undertaking playing the Garden. Caller number